Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this show, we look at the groundbreaking early films of Barbara Stanwyck. I hope you enjoy the show. I watched the film Babyface again recently. It was made in 1933, which was before the Hays Code was brought into force to protect public morals and decency. Barbara Stanwyck plays a young woman who has been sexually exploited all her life, brought up in her father's speakeasy in a Pennsylvania mill town. She decides to sleep her way to the top of the tree. It's an amazing little film for what it shows, and Stanwyck is so good in her role, I looked around for other films she made at that time and was surprised by what I found. She started out as a chorus girl at the age of 17, determined to make it in showbiz, and moved to Hollywood when she was just 19, just before Talking Pictures started. Jean Harlow reigned supreme at the time, and Stanwyck's acting ability was mostly overshadowed. But she was extremely versatile, and her early work shows just how talented she was. In every picture, she plays an independent, thinking, determined young woman, challenging the accepted views of society. Frank Capra spotted her early on and directed her in five pictures, the first of which was Ladies of Leisure in 1930. The title was a polite term for the party girls, or flappers, intent upon enjoying themselves and flaunting respectable behaviour. Stanwyck plays one of these girls and is hired by a rich young man aspiring to be an artist to pose for him. She expects him to make the usual passes, but is surprised to find him behaving like a gentleman. It's got Capra's characteristic humour in Bucket Loads, and Ralph Graves does a fine job as the artist. Capra was dismissive of Stanwyck when he met her first, but her husband, Frank Fay, who was a successful actor, phoned the director up and insisted he see a screen test she'd done for Warner's. It did the trick, and Capra hired her. It led to a four-picture deal with Columbia.
Right now.
In Night Nurse, 1931, Stanwyck plays a young woman desperate to become a nurse, and when she finally finds a way into the profession, she excels. She gets hired to privately care for two young children who she believes are deliberately being starved to death by their mother and wonders why. Clark Gable plays his final bad guy role in this movie and still hasn't adopted his trademark moustache. His role was due to be played by James Cagney, but The Public Enemy, his previous picture, had become such a success that the studio decided Cagney shouldn't play any more supporting roles. William Wellman directed and brings a dark undercurrent to the film, and watch out for the opening and closing scenes shot from the back of an ambulance, something which is often credited as being invented by Joseph H. Lewis in his excellent noir, Gun Crazy, a good 20 years later. Ten Cents a Dance is unusual in that it was directed by Lionel Barrymore, and it was the first and last film he ever directed. Here, Stanwyck plays a dance hall girl who sells dances for 10 cents each, a job many girls did to avoid prostitution at the time. She has a wealthy regular customer who genuinely falls for her, played by Ricardo Cortez. Her boyfriend is out of work, and she persuades Cortez to hire him. Her boyfriend is played by Monroe Owsley, but I wonder if Chester Morris wouldn't have been a better bet for the part.
I work at the palace ball, but she, that palace is cheap. When I get back to my chilly hall, I'm much too tired to sleep. I'm one of those lady teachers, a beautiful hostess, you know, the kind the palace features at exactly a dime a throw. 10 cents a dance, that's what they pay me. Gosh, how they weigh me down. 10 cents a dance, pansies and rough guys, tough guys who tear my gown. 7 to midnight I hear drums, loudly the saxophone blows. Trumpets are breaking my eardrums, customers crush my toes. Sometimes I think I found my hero, but it's a queer romance. All that you need is a ticket. Come on, big boy, 10 cents a dance. Fighters and sailors and bow-legged tailors can pay for a ticket and rent me. Butchers and barbers and rats from the harbor, a sweetheart my good luck has sent me. Though I've a chorus of elderly beaux, stockings are for us with holes in the toes. I'm there to closing time. Dance and be merry, it's only a dime. 10 cents a dance, that's what they pay me. Gosh, how they weigh me down. 10 cents a dance, pansies and rough guys, tough guys who tear my gown. 7 to midnight, I hear drums. Loudly the saxophone blows. Trumpets are breaking my eardrums. Customers crush my toes. Sometimes I think I found my hero, but it's a queer romance. All that you need is a ticket. Come on, big boy, 10 cents a dime.
In Illicit, directed by Archie Mayo, Stanwyck defies convention and lives with her boyfriend, refusing to marry him. She spends a great deal of time in the film explaining her reasons to him and his father, saying that the ownership implicit in marriage is a sure way of killing love off. These were extremely liberal attitudes to be peddling in 1931, and no wonder the Hays Code prevented it all a few years later.
Thank you.
Shopworn, made in 1932, has some very dark moments, including the thieving from the body of an accident victim during the first few minutes of the film. Stanwyck works in a cafe and falls in love with a college boy on the other side of the tracks, played well by a young Regis Toomey. His family, of course, are against the match, and Stanwyck gets framed to put her in jail to keep her away from him. In Forbidden, another Capra film, she plays a young librarian who decides to spend all her savings on an expensive holiday. She goes on a cruise to Havana and on the boat meets Adolphe Menjou, an attorney married to an invalid wife. She doesn't know he's married at the time and they have an affair, which continues when they return home. Stanwyck falls pregnant, but I won't divulge any more of the plot. Enough to say that Menjou's character is ambitious. It's a great little film and highlights the hypocrisy ever present in society.
Top your head like little bird below its mammy's wing.
Yet another Capra gem is The Miracle Woman, in which Stanwyck is disillusioned with religion when her father, a minister, dies with no sympathy from his congregation. She decides to become a false prophet for the money she can make. There are some great pre-code moments to be spotted in this film before human behaviour was censored in Hollywood film writing.
The farmer in the dell, the farmer in the dell. Hi ho, the derry-o, the farmer in the dell. The farmer takes a wife, the farmer takes a wife. Hi ho, the derry-o, the farmer takes a wife. Wife takes the child, the wife takes the child. Hi ho, the derry-o, the wife takes the child. The child takes the nurse, the child takes the nurse. Hi ho, the derry-o, the child takes the nurse. The nurse takes the dog. I hold the derry-o. The nurse takes the dog. And the dog takes the cat. The dog takes the cat. I hold the derry-o. The dog takes the cat. Takes the rat. Hi ho, the derry-o, the cat takes the rat. And the rat takes the cheese. The rat takes the cheese. Hi ho, the derry-o, the rat takes the cheese. And the cheese stands alone. The cheese stands alone. Hi ho, the derry-o, the cheese stands alone.
Frank Capra jumped on the project The Bitter Tea of General Yen, in which Stanwyck plays a missionary's wife who becomes attracted to a Chinese warlord. The art direction is sumptuous, and the film is notable for all sorts of reasons. It was one of the first films to portray sexual attraction between people of different races, and there's a fabulous scene in which Capra subtly uses close-ups on the eyes to show the general's preference for the white woman over his own concubine. The film also has a dream sequence suggesting the same thing. Swedish actor Nils Astor played the Chinese warlord, as at the time Chinese actors weren't utilised. Surprisingly, the film was overlooked for Oscar nominations, perhaps due to the risque subject matter. It's a great film, though, and shows Capra's skills in a new light.
Thank you.
That same year, Stanwyck starred in The Purchase Price with George Brent and Lyle Talbot, directed by William Wellman. She's a nightclub singer who decides to marry a farmer based in the middle of North Dakota in order to escape from Montreal. She arrives and spurns his advances on their wedding night and then finds it difficult to regain his affection. George Brent is almost unrecognisable as the introverted farmer and does a good job with a difficult role. Stanwyck is superb throughout, showing her tough and soft sides at different points in the movie. She also sings for the first time on screen and has a voice not unlike Marlene Dietrich.
Take me away, my heart only belongs to you. Knowing you love me too. Take me away. Take me away. Somewhere far from the crowds we've known. Where we can be alone. Take me away. Why can't we share the dreams wonderful plans are made? Happiness seems at all command. Take me away, sweetheart, show me what love can do. My life belongs to you. Take me away.
In 1933, she starred in a sobering melodrama, Ever in My Heart, directed by Archie Mayo, about the consequences of marrying someone from Germany just before World War breaks out. Otto Kruger plays the German student she falls for instead of Ralph Bellamy, her longtime friend and suitor. Then war breaks out and they suffer the prejudice of all their friends, and Kruger decides to go back to fight for his country. But their paths cross again and Stanwyck has a difficult choice to make. This is a great little film, and I was surprised at the powerful punch it delivers at the end.
Du liegst mir im Sinn. Du machst mir viel Schmerzen, weißt nicht, wie gut ich dir bin. Ja, 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 weißt nicht, wie gut ich dir bin.
Ja.
Doch, doch, darf ich dir trauen, dir, dir, mit leichtem Sinn. Du kannst auf mich bauen, weißt nicht, wie gut ich dir bin. Ja, 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 weißt nicht, wie gut ich dir bin.
Ja.
Dein Bild erscheint, dann wünsch ich so gerne, dass uns die Liebe vereint. Ja, 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 dass uns die Liebe vereint. Ja, ja. dass uns die Liebe vereint.
Barbara Stanwyck enjoyed a long, successful career as a leading lady from the 1930s right up until the 60s, after which she turned to television roles and became a household name for her work in the TV Western series The Big Valley and in the 1980s in The Colbys. And that brings us back to Babyface, directed by Alfred E. Green in 1933. It was so racy that it was banned from some US cities upon release. Early on in the film, she seduces a brakeman on a freight train to get a ride, and the scene was cut before release. This film is widely regarded as one of the best pre-code films ever made. Lily Powers, Stanwyck's character, reads from Nietzsche's book Thoughts Out of Season, and the following quote remains in the mind. All life, no matter how we idealize it, is no more nor less than exploitation. If you have any interest in the history of the cinema, this film is a must-see. And there you have it. Do enjoy any of these early Barbara Stanwyck films if you take the time to see them. You won't be disappointed.
Baby face, you've got the cutest little baby face. There's not another one can take your place. Baby face, my poor heart is jumping. You sure have started something, baby face. I'm up in heaven when I'm in your fond embrace. I didn't need a shove, 'cause I just fell in love with your pretty face.